All right, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This chapter, it's a continuous thought. I mean, really the whole book is, but tough to break it down into pieces. The idea tonight, talking about moving towards redemption. Moving towards redemption. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, we'll go through verse 16. The Bible says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." All right, the idea, Paul is moving towards redemption because that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is moving. Every soul that's saved is headed towards redemption of the body. The time, like he says in verse 21, where God will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And everything is moving in that direction for the child of God. That's the purpose, that's the goal, and it is the day of full adoption. As he mentions over there in Romans chapter 8, it says, waiting for the adoption, to wit, meaning the definition of, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. And so everything is moving towards the redemption of the body and the making of a soul like Jesus Christ. And so if that's the direction God's moving, that's the direction Paul wants to be moving. That's where he wants to be going. You'll find I think sometimes Christians, before we pray, I'll just say this little comment here. It's tough to find places in the Bible where God instructs on how to be a middle-of-the-road Christian. You either find, I'm going in this direction, and you can either go in this direction, or here's the other side of the coin, where I have to warn people against going in this direction. And I seem like Christians most often, you know, we want to enjoy eternal life or have eternal life, but how do we have eternal life and not be completely committed, but be somewhat committed to the Lord? And Holy Spirit, please show me where that area is in where you want me to do in that area. And you don't get much instruction on, okay, if you don't want to serve the Lord and you're not lost, here's how to kind of just be the middle of the road person. You don't really get any, there's no books of the Bible written about how to be a middle of the road Christian. And so God is heading towards, in a Christian's life, a person who is saved, who's trusted Jesus Christ, he's headed for moving towards redemption. And so that's the direction Paul's moving towards redemption. And that's really the theme of these verses. That's how we're going to go through them. But let's pray, and we'll talk about that tonight, moving towards redemption. Father, I pray, first of all, Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here tonight. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for a good time this morning with the guys. Good prayer time, good Bible time, and Lord, a good time of fellowship. Father, thank you for an open door over at the college to preach, to put a table up, to do whatever it is that they'll allow us to do there. But it looks like an open door there to just be a testimony in another place here. And Lord, I pray that you would make that abundantly fruitful and keep that door open. Father, thank you for your words, and I pray tonight that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit to say what you once said, and Lord, that we would get what we need from you, because you're our only hope. If we don't get anything from you, we just don't have anything. And Lord, I pray tonight you'd feed your flock. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you thought about it, think about it. The thing that keeps you and I from the physical presence of the Lord is your body. That's the thing. If you're saved, that's the thing that keeps you away from the physical presence of the Lord. So this body at some point will have to go away. We were talking about it this morning with the guys. You know, it's the body is a couple of things. You know, number one, it's a record of what you do with the words of God in this life, and the body is that record. That's what he says. We're going to call into account all the things done in the body, and that will be the record. It's just like taking a thumb drive or something from a computer, and you got information on it, you plug it in, here's the record. This is what happened. This is what was done. It's also, like I said, it is the barrier between you and the physical presence of God, and so it has to go away at some point. And we're talking about it again. Even if someone were to live a perfectly sinless life from here on out, they would still have to get rid of the body in order to be in the presence of Jesus Christ physically. You'd have to get rid of the body. And it's going to have to come to a point where he says, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. He says that no flesh should glory in his presence, over in Corinthians. The Bible says being absent from the body, present with the Lord. The point is, this thing is the thing that keeps you and I from the presence of the Lord. Now, you know, if that's not a suicidal thought, I don't know what it is, but this is the thing. This is the thing. And so it is God's given you and I a body that will be the record of what we've done with the words of God, what we've done in faith, believing God, and what we haven't done. And so all of that will be called into account. Everything is working, if you're a saved child of God, everything is working towards the redemption of the body. And the time where God can change this body and make it into a body fashioned like Jesus Christ's body. So this is what Paul's talking about. You're in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 is that verse, who shall change our vile body, it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So that's where this is headed. So Paul is going to describe his life moving in that direction, moving towards redemption. So he says in verse 12, number one, and we'll just take each verse and apply each one here. Redemption is the purpose of Jesus Christ. He says, not as though I had already attained, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. So I'm not there yet. I don't have the new body yet. Not as though I'd already attained. Either were already perfect. So that's the same thing. I'm not there yet. I don't have what I'm headed towards yet. I don't have that in possession yet. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, if I can grab a hold of and seize this thing, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So this is what he has apprehended me for, Paul's saying. This is what he's taken me for, is so he can one day change me to fashion me like Jesus Christ. And so if that's where God's moving, that's where I want to be moving too. That's the direction I want to be moving in. And so apprehend is a good, that's a perfect word there. And here's why. When someone is apprehended, he says, that for which I am apprehended. When someone is apprehended, they're taken into custody in view of a trial. You understand? They're taken into custody in view of a trial. Now, this is for a Christian, it's supposed to be a good thing. where put your faith on trial, and he said the trying of your faith is more precious than gold and things like that. Also talking about the judgment seat of Christ. You've been apprehended to one day stand in a trial. Now, that can go good or bad, you know, depending on what you do with the body. But apprehend is a perfect word. So he says, this is what I'm apprehended for. Redemption is the purpose of Jesus Christ. Here's another thing. He said over there in John, he said, Jesus Christ said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That's apprehension. I have seized them now. I have a hold of them now, and that's now I've taken possession of them. No man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's a perfect description. That's apprehension. Someone who's been apprehended of God Almighty. So Paul says, I've been apprehended for this purpose. Therefore, I'm going to live my life in such a way as it lines up with what God's purpose is for my life. He's going to make me like Jesus Christ. Therefore, in this body, I am going to make this body conform to Jesus Christ as much as I can. I'm going to push it. I'm going to line it up with His will, because this is the way God's going. Paul wants to be moving in the same direction the Lord's moving. Be in the will of God, so to speak. This is what he means. So if this is the way the Lord's moving, he's trying to make the soul that has been apprehended now, make that soul like Jesus Christ. He does some things. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4, and you'll see one of the ways he does this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So redemption is the purpose of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:11. Jesus Christ is the measure. He's the standard. He is the goal. Ephesians 4:11, he says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now watch verse 13. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That's the direction. Trying to bring every believer into the measure and to line up every believer with Jesus Christ. He is the standard. So that is where God puts pastors and teachers and evangelists and they say prophets and apostles and prophets. And he put all these folks out. He says he gave some here, he gave some there. Those were the gifts to the people so that the people could be helped and we could all be helped in order to be, how are we being helped? We're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the point. Conform to that image. You're saying Ephesians 4, look down over here in verse 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Skip down to verse 21. So don't keep walking in that direction. That's the idea. You're walking in the wrong direction. Now verse 21. "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man." The new man is Jesus Christ. "You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So that is the point. That's the purpose. That's the direction God's moving. That is, if you were to say, "What is the will of God? What is your will for my life?" Well, my will for your life is to make you like Jesus Christ. That's my will for your life. I'm trying to make you like Jesus Christ. And this is how, this is the method, is one of the ways he's going to do it here. So going back to Philippians, though, redemption is the purpose of Jesus Christ. And if this is the way God's moving, this is the way Paul wants to be moving. Go back over to Philippians and look at the next verse here. Philippians 3, verse 13. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." I'm not there yet. It's a work in progress, and it's always going to be a work in progress. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." So redemption is not only God's direction, it's also Paul's direction. And the way it would be implemented in his life, what he's saying is, I forget these things that are behind and I move forward in this direction. Just like he said earlier in the chapter, he says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus." So this is Paul giving up on his own righteousness, giving up on his own religion, giving up on his own way of earning a living. This is Paul giving up on everything he had before and everything he had trusted in before, so that he could press on towards living and becoming like Jesus Christ. And not that he's trying to, it's not a works-based salvation, it's being fashioned and being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ here and now, and bringing his body under subjection so that it would be subject to the mind of Christ. All right, so redemption is where Paul's going. Here's a couple of verses for you about that. It says this. You guys know these verses, but Romans chapter 12 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What are we saying? We're saying this redemption is not only the direction God's moving, it's the direction Paul wants to be moving. And the way he's going to do that is by, number one, the renewing of the mind, like he said over in Romans 12. He's going to allow his mind to be renewed in Jesus Christ. He says it over there in Titus chapter 3. He says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." All right, that's the new direction you're going in. That is the goal of God there. That's the point here. Moving towards redemption. So Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. If you're going to move forward and you're going to become more Christ-like in the will of God here, you're going to have to forget some things, like Paul had to forget some things. And if you don't forget some things, there's going to be consequences. If you don't forget the old ways, here's what, if somebody trusts Jesus Christ and tries to serve the Lord, inevitably, somebody who wants to serve the Lord is going to face some kind of opposition. There's going to be some temptation, maybe money or a relationship, or something's going to show up. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And what will happen is that person will be tempted either by old friends or old sins to go right back into the rut that they came out of. And if you fall back into sin, where you're going to end up is a familiar sin. You're going to go right back into the thing that you were trapped in before you trusted Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's familiar to you. It's the thing you went to for comfort. It's the thing you went to for solace. And so Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Go back to the old ways because they're familiar. No, I'm not going back to the old ways. I'm not going back there. I'm not going back to the old crowd. If Paul goes back to the old crowd, you know what Paul ends up becoming? He ends up becoming the old crowd. I mean, that's what he, if he hangs around the folks that he used to hang around with, I mean, he's trying to preach. I know he goes to the synagogues and he's trying to preach to the Jews and trying to get them to understand. But it's just these old familiar ways that people fall back on. If you go back to the same group of people, you'll be with the same group of people. You become the same group that you were a part of. So he says, forgetting those things which are behind. You hold on to those old ways. It's going to affect your thinking. It's going to affect emotions. It's going to affect stability. There's so much. Tell you what. So we're talking about it this morning. When a person trusts Jesus Christ, the more they remember and hang on to those old religious ways, the harder it is. I mean, if they really trusted Jesus Christ, the harder it is to teach things like, I'll give you an example. For instance, trying to teach someone about eternal security who comes out of maybe a charismatic background or something. They're so inundated with that thinking, it's you have to undo so much stuff in order to get to a point where you can understand, it's completely Jesus Christ's work. There's nothing, you can't add righteousness to this. I mean, just using that was an illustration. There's other illustrations. There's other religion. There's people who are non-religious. You know, they didn't have anything to do. They got saved and they just thought, we'll just keep living how we're going to keep living or whatever. And they got to be trained to, you got to learn. So much of our culture these days, I mean, so much of our society, there's so much biblical illiteracy. Where when someone gets saved, they have to be trained or told or shown from the Bible, hey, God said you need to get married or you need to change relationships or something. You can't stay here with this. You either need to become a dad or become a mom. You need to, but people don't even think that way. They just think it's normal to live this way. It's normal just to shack up with the other people. It's normal just to live however we're going to live. And so you have all these old ways that have to be undone. And Paul says, after trusting Jesus Christ, trying to live for Jesus Christ, one of the things that has to be done is I got to forget what was behind. I got to get away from this stuff. Otherwise, it's going to affect how I think. It's going to affect my emotions. It's going to affect my decision making. And not only forgetting those things which are behind, because this is where some people start to claim, Christians don't want to have any fun, they don't want to do anything, and blah, blah, blah. It's all about rules, it's all about not going to the parties and not doing this. No, it's not about only forgetting those things which are behind. The second part of that is I reach forth unto the things which are before. So I move in a direction now. It's not just, no, I'm not going to think about that stuff that was happening before you. No, I'm not going to do that anymore. No, I'm not going to do that anymore. No, I'm not going to do that anymore. No, what I'm going to start doing is moving in this direction. Therefore, I'm not going to be moving in this direction. I'm reaching forth now. I'm trying to apprehend. I'm trying to attain. I'm trying to grab hold of. I'm trying to seize that thing that I'm apprehended for. I'm trying to move in that direction. The Lord's moving in that direction. I'm trying to move in that direction. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. So forgetting isn't all there is to it. The other part is reaching forth, he said. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now verse 14. Notice what he says in here. He says, redemption is the prize. This is the thing you're going towards. This is the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if you remember back over in verse 8, he said that I may win Christ. And then he says over here, the prize, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize. Notice those words. win Christ. Verse 8, counts all things but loss so that he can win. And then he pressed towards the mark in verse 14 for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this is the high calling of God. You say, what does it mean to have a high calling? It means not an earthly calling. He said over there in Hebrews, he said, wherefore, brethren, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. What's that? That's the high calling. That's something that came by revelation now. That's something that I didn't just figure out here on earth. That's something that came by revelation where God said, hey, I'm going in this direction here. Follow me. This is where I'm going. You come this way. That's a call. This is where I'm moving. The call from heaven. Here's another couple of thoughts on that. Where he talks about the calling in Ephesians. I'll just read these to you. There's so many verses. I'll read you a couple of them. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. 2 Thessalonians, he says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. In 2 Timothy, he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. There's several other verses about the calling. But all those describe the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's the point of that? The point is, God is moving towards redemption. Therefore, Paul is moving towards redemption. God is moving towards making not just Paul, but anyone who's trusted Jesus Christ. God is moving towards making that person more like Jesus Christ every day. Therefore, that's where Paul wants to be, moving towards making himself and bringing himself under and submitting himself to the mind of Christ and thinking like Jesus Christ. That's the high calling. It's the high calling. All right, verse 15. Notice redeemed and perfection here. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. All right, if you're saved, there's a part of you that's already been perfected. And that there's a part of you that's secure in God, that's been made a child of God. There's a part of you that doesn't want to sin. There's a part of you that's a new man inside of you. All right. However, again, for the, I don't know, hundredth or thousandth time, that new man is inside of an old man. And so he says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. That doesn't mean he thinks he's perfect. That just means he's in Christ and there's a part of him that's right. Let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. All right, so not only if you've trusted Jesus Christ, there's a part of you that is perfect, that's right before God, but also let us therefore, he says, as many as be perfect. So that's not only what God's trying to do with you, but that's what you want from God. And you want him to allow it, you want to allow him to do with you. All right, so it's redeemed in perfection. here's something people say. You say something like, I'm not perfect. And people say that, and oftentimes it's just used to kind of blow off, you know, hey, nobody's perfect. You know, we just, you know, whatever. Nobody's perfect. And the idea is, you know, yeah, I got some fleas on me, and I'm not really interested in getting them off. You know? It's like, yeah, I've got some problems, and I'm not really interested in fixing those problems. It's contrary to everything God is saying here. It's contrary to everything Paul is saying here. He's saying, look, if this is the way God's moving, This is the way I want to be moving. And God forbid that I should ever be satisfied in being the old man. God forbid that I should ever just, you know, well, it is what it is, and I'll, you know, we'll never get it right, so might as well just let it go, just deal with it. That's what I'm saying when I said at the beginning, you're going to be hard-pressed to find any place in the Scriptures where the Lord says, all right, here's the God-honored life. Here's the warning to the people who are headed in the wrong direction. But if you're not interested in this one, here's how you just live, you know, sort of middle of the road here. Here's how you trust Jesus Christ, but then you do your own thing with your life. You're not going to find anything like that in the Bible. I was thinking about it. Do you ever have someone come to you, and maybe you were on the other end of this, but if someone comes to you and they ask a question that they should know better about, and you really don't know what to say, you just kind of look at them like, duh, yeah, it's like, duh. Like, you don't know what to say. When I read the New Testament, I feel like that's the way the Holy Spirit treats people who want to live carnally. Just kind of like, I don't really have anything to say to you. Just like, what am I supposed to tell you? Here's how you can either serve God, but if you don't want to serve God, here's how you don't serve God and just, you know, sort of do your thing. You don't ever get any advice like that from the Holy Spirit. You get stuff like this where Paul says, this is the way God's moving. This is the direction he's moving in. This is the direction I'm going to be moving in. He says, if you're not thus minded, if anyone be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So he's trying to move you in that direction. He's trying to get you going in that direction. Everything is moving towards redemption. Then he says in verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. All right, so don't let the flesh change the rules on you. Here's what we say. Come down to the altar after a sermon or whatever, and somebody who's not saved, they say, man, I got to get saved. So you show them how to get saved, trust Jesus Christ. And they say, yeah, I got to trust Jesus Christ. I'm lost. I need Jesus Christ. And so they pray, and they, Jesus Christ is my Savior. He completely changed my life. And then they get up from the prayer and act like Jesus Christ has no business in any other part of their lives. We're just a few moments ago. I mean, I know I'm exaggerating a little bit, but this is how the old man responds, and this is how people end up thinking. Jesus Christ is good for my eternal life, but what does he need to be involved in my marriage for? Why is he going to get in the way of my feelings for this other person? How dare he tell me who to date? How dare he tell me who to consider as a relationship? So he says in verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. What was the rule? Well, Jesus Christ is my redemption. God's moving in that direction toward Jesus Christ. Why would I want to move in any other direction? If I admitted that my whole life was lost without Jesus Christ, what sense would it make to say now Jesus Christ is good to save me and all that, but he's not good for this? It doesn't make any sense. What is that? That's the old man changing the rules on you. Don't let the flesh change the rules on you. If you truly trusted Jesus Christ, you said at one point, he is the only way, he's the only hope, he's the only one I can count on. Then you got up and went right back to trusting your flesh. You understand? It doesn't make any sense. So he says, let us walk by the same rule. Let's mind the same thing. Redemption and personal deception there. Don't change the rules. So all of this said, this is a little piece of a bigger picture here. Everything in this chapter deals with the new body fashioned like unto Jesus Christ. And this is he is the measure, he is the standard, he is the thing that God's going to, God has accepted the body of Jesus Christ, God's accepted the mind of Jesus Christ. He is the one that every saved soul will be fashioned like. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to look exactly like Jesus Christ or anything like that. It just means your body will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So if this is the direction that God's moving, so people say, well, I just want to know the will of God for my life. All right, here's the will of God for your life. He's going to try to make you like Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to do. Everything he's doing is geared towards that. And if you find out some things in your life that move you away from being like Jesus Christ, well, you've just found out where the old man has stuck his head up. You've just found out where the temptation is, where the thing is trying to go off track. So Paul is moving towards redemption, because that's the way the Lord's moving. He's moving towards redemption.